Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. Hosting with me, my co-host, is my wife, my partner in life and health and everything in between that. Dr. Mary, welcome, Mary. Good to see you.
Welcome.
And, good to see you. Yeah, what's that?
I said, good to see you too.
Good to see you as well. We just got back from a week in Mexico and got to spend a lot of time together, which was nice just to reconnect and rejuvenate. And now we get to jump back in the saddle. We were with this gentleman, this doctor, I don't know, three years ago, I don't know, 4 years ago, I don't know exactly when, Dr. Michael Viscarelli coming to us from Buena Vista, Colorado. You got to look it up on the map. In fact, we're going to drop a pin somewhere so you can kind of see he's literally living on 160 acres in a homesteaded ranch. He didn't homestead it, but got it from the homesteaders, from the homesteader, the homesteader, the homesteader, surrounded by a million acres of national forest and a million plus acres. And man, he's living my life, brother. I'm telling you. Coming from northern Maine, that's where you grew up, all the way to Colorado. And now you're back in the only thing you're missing is the lobster. And the ocean there, right? Acadia National Park. I don't know, but it sounds like you're a little bit of heaven to me. And let me give you a little bit of a little insight on Dr. Michael. He's a 2011 graduate from Life University, has two practices going on his third practice right now. He is a master organizer. He talks chiropractic. He lives chiropractic. He's co-founder of AMPT. And AMPT has been very successful in grooming young docs, students into docs and other docs, you know, into very successful practices. You know, he lives on this ranch with his wife, Tara, and their two kids. He's got a nine-year-old boy named Luca, and he's got a six-year-old daughter named Vinnie, which I just love that name, man. It's such a great name. I wish I was cousins with her, you know. She'd be my cousin, Vinnie, but he's just doing amazing things in chiropractic. So, you know, we're going to dive in and just kind of talk about, you know, talk with Michael, and we're going to see wherever we go with this conversation. I know it's going to come out beautiful. Mary, want me to start? You want to start?
Go ahead. Jump in. You're on a roll.
Michael, look at it. I mean, obviously, you know, you got into chiropractic, you know, you became a chiropractor in 2011. That puts you like 13 years kind of like right now in the profession. But you got in, graduated when you were some in your 30s, right? You know, 31, 30 years old, whatever it is. And, you know, obviously there's a passion there for you. And you know, I think that, you know, I know you, and I would probably use the word service, you know, around who you are, but I want you to share what that passion is and where you're at with that.
Yeah, well, thank you for the generous introduction. And of course, thank you so much for hosting me. Again, I guess I didn't screw it up too bad the first time. And I'm super grateful. And Dr. Mary will message me once in a while, thanking for things that I'll share online and such. And she'll give me a little bit of encouragement. So I'm grateful for that. But
dude, we spent the vacation in Mexico, and she's showing me your meme. And she's going, because she knows I'm not on social media a lot. She's showing me, you got to look at this one. She said she loves your memes. And so
you're my favorite. I told you, I'm your biggest fan of your memes.
Dr. Mary, thank you. Thank you so much. Because my wife, when I go to share some, my wife's like, are you sure? And I'm like, you know, see, Tara, at this point in my life, I just don't care. You know, I'm just going to be myself. But I do want to thank you guys for your faithful service out West. At Life College Chiropractic West and what you guys have achieved as a team. It's admirable, it's inspirational, and it supports our profession in such a healthy manner. I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, we're out here in Colorado and I gotta tell you this, I don't have that wild chiropractic story that some people, you know, enter chiropractic school with or enter our profession with. In first quarter, I remember going around the horn, you know, however many students were in our first quarter, those weren't the kids that I graduated with, sadly. And not sadly, because my journey was different in school, and I'm grateful and I'm proud of that journey. And it's an inspiration to a lot of people that share a similar journey of setbacks, of interruptions, of lack of focus, lack of purpose. And so I use that story to help inspire young students and practitioners, and saying that, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. But it's going to come with a lot of hard work and devotion, and you need to find a way to get on purpose. Otherwise, it will run you over and burn you out. But I did not have that story that these students stood up and went around the horn and be like, share their testimony as why they got a chiropractic. I was kind of like, man, I had a groin injury and all I want to do is skate again and get back on the ice and tear it up and not tear up my groin again. And it was a chiropractor that talked to me about biomechanics, talked to me about structure equals function, didn't talk to me really about neurology or its impact and how the central nervous system controls and coordinates every other system in the body. I mean, shoot, Grey's Anatomy, the textbook, not the TV show. I mean, it states that.
Yeah.
And yet we're still talking about hard bone on soft nerves so often, you know, and you know, the conversation is starting to shift, but that's how I understood chiropractic. I thought about pain. I thought about modalities in order to help me get back on the ice. I didn't think about, you know, when my nervous system is clear and concise and it's communicating freely to every cell, tissue, and organ in the body, that my optimal health is intact and I can achieve anything. Like, nobody had told me that story. Right. So, you know, I had this injury and got a little bit of help, and so be it. But it wasn't until I met my wife, Tara, and she was diagnosed infertile before the age of 20, that she had such severe endometriosis. The only way that she could have a normal life is to get a hysterectomy. Remember, normal life, you know, and hysterectomy before the age of 20 to rob her of the opportunity to be a mother, to impart her wisdom, her experience, her life, her values and principles into her kin. And that was their answer. And when she denied it, they're like, well, let's put this IUD in you to try to regulate your hormones. You know how they go down this rabbit hole and they try to control the body versus unlock the body's potential, right? It seems to me, you know, allopathy is ego saying we know more, we can control more, we will handle it. And where, you know, vitality, where vitalism and like natural health is just such a humble sit back, you know, unlock the body and allow the body to express its innate intelligence and not be in control of it, accept what comes out. Yeah, and man, that's different.
It's too simple. You know, yeah. And I really mean that. You know, sometimes when things are so simple, like, people just don't get it, and nor do they even want to even look at it. You know, like, yeah. It's like, here's the answer. That's right. Just eat good food. Well, no, but we got to be able to do this and this. What about this? What if there's a famine? What if da, da, da? And like, no one, you know, they can find reasons and they just get in their head with this stuff. It's crazy. Yeah.
And I feel, Doc, I feel the same way, though, sadly, about chiropractors sometimes. Yeah. It's like, man, they get bored in practice. They feel like they're not enough. They feel like they need to do more. They feel like they need to sell more, provide more, you know, services to, you know, all these things that end up becoming the outside in, which contradicts our adio philosophy. And I just want to say, man, chiropractic is so good and it's so powerful and it can be so effective when served in the most simplistic form.
Yeah.
Communicated clearly, but served in its most simplistic form. I always say that chiropractic is best served naked, not dressed up, not spruced up. It's like a good steak, man. I mean, you could throw A1 on it, throw ketchup on it. But boy, oh boy, man, you just cook that in a little bit of butter.
That's how I make mine. But Mary, you know, we were just talking about that. Literally, I think it was just yesterday or Saturday. You know, we were talking about that, about biohacking, you know, and you know, not that it's bad, not that, you know, people shouldn't be taking cold plunges or be doing whatever. But we talked about just how all that, everything, you know, it's just like anything else. It's only going to be amplified by having a clear functioning nervous system, you know?
And I was gonna say, and we've talked about, like, it's, especially for chiropractors specifically, it's kind of taking it over, like you've just said, Michael, like it's kind of taking it over to this, like, just trust the body. Like, as chiropractors, when I speak to the students, I say, like, my adjustments, They're boring. I'm not the best adjuster. They're not pretty, but I have one job to do. And like how they look has nothing to do with what I do. And you can see it ruffles their feathers a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, I want to give you the most bland, boring adjustment.
Yeah.
Effective, yeah, but boring. And it's like, they start doing this stuff now where they're like, I need more and I need more and I need to draw people to it. It's like, no, just tell the story about chiropractic.
That's right. And sometimes I feel, and you guys, with all your experience and your history, and I got to say, right when you passed it over to you, Dr. Mayer, I was like, I just love that y'all are hosting this together. What a cool thing. Because the first time when I was on here, it wasn't that way. Just a husband and wife serving together on purpose, man. I just love it. And I mean, I would say that his tan looks a little bit darker, but he might have really been lazy on the beach in Mexico, it seems, but he definitely bronzed up in Mexico. But I want, when we opened our practice, and I can't believe it, Dr. Rob, you said 13 years. That's crazy to me. When we're going to celebrate our 12th year, but I mean, same thing, right? I mean, it's just crazy how fast this goes by, how fast the kids are getting older. I mean, just all these things, how quickly we start to become irrelevant. And I look at this and I say, man, what does not get old and does not become irrelevant is the principle of chiropractic, because as we are getting more complex, as we're having robots do surgery, we got AI, we've got all the synthetic food, medications, our water's disgusting, all these sort of things, the principle in its purest form is still as powerful as ever. We haven't had to change it. We haven't had to dress it up. We don't even need to marinate it in anything. It is best served organically. And when we opened our practice in 2012, We opened with 174 new patients on the books in our first 5 days, and we saw 178 total visits in our first 5 days. We collected $10,000 cash in our first Monday. We weren't even in insurance yet. I was trying. I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, holier than thou. I was trying, but I just screwed it up, and I used a P.O. box on my form. And so it had to be all cash. We had our first $100,000 cash month seven. And people came to me from every end of the profession wanting to know how. And I remember when Liam Schubel asked me, he said, Michael, he goes, what's the secret, man? What's the secret? He's kind of teasing me. I mean, he's way ahead of me. And I didn't really know him very well, but he was speaking at a similar event. I mean, at the same event that I was at. And I said, man, you know, we cornered the market by just doing principal chiropractic. Everybody that we ran into, marketing, on ads online, networking meetings, at chamber meetings, everybody wanted to explain all the services that they did beyond chiropractic. Mm-hmm. I mean, even people would introduce themselves and talk about the networks of insurance that they were in. Right? Like as if that's like something to brag about, or when they graduated. You had to ask me when I graduated, and I had to think about it, but not that long, just because I just spoke at LifeU and had to remind myself and tell them. And I was like, man, why would I ever say when I graduated from and where I graduated from and what insurance companies? Because I think I would say that when I don't value chiropractic, when I don't own the message or the principle. And I can tell you, when you don't own the message of chiropractic, the principle of chiropractic, you can't sell what you don't own.
No.
The public, they sense it.
No, you can't. You can't. And Mary and I, when we were in practice together, right, for, you know, 30 something years, one of our key issues, you know, that we always look back on, not issues, but one of our key products, was that we always wanted to create success principles out of the 33 principles, because they're laid out for us. Now, how do we take those and create success principles out of those, right? And I've got a question for you around that, because, you know, obviously, you know, you're very successful at what you do. You teach docs all over the country, you know, or the continent. I don't know how far it reaches, but, you know, it's there, like you said. I mean, I love that it's best served naked. It is, or best served organic, you know, because nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be flavored to it. Nothing needs to be sprinkled on it, right? Nothing wrong, you know, with putting butter on and putting whatever else you want on. There's nothing wrong. Have it how you want it. But the bottom line is that a steak is a steak. No, it is. It's just a steak. You can't make a steak mashed potatoes. It is a steak. How do you create the success principles around that?
Well, I'll tell you this, I feel like I see chiropractic so simply. And so what I noticed from young practitioners when we came out of school, we had a desire or a feel that we needed to edify ourselves by dumping everything that we've learned in our school. I mean, going back to like Krebs cycle, you know what I mean? Sodium, potassium pumps. We're talking about things that we're just dumping so much information, thinking that that's going to raise the value. And what I realized is that ADIO, the principle of chiropractic, in its most simplest understanding of that the nervous system controls and coordinates every other system in the body, that's it, right? It controls everything from your digestion, your urinary tract, reproductive, integumentary, endocrine, respiratory, cardiovascular, right? All the way to the immune system. If we understand that, what else needs to necessarily be said? We just need to connect the dots in the most simple, understandable ways for our community and give them action steps and not overpromise and underdeliver. I'll never forget when I was going away to prep school, my parents were blue collar. My dad was just a hardcore, hardworking master plumber. My mother was a hygienist. She did it for over 40 years, as strong as an ox. Our clothes were ironed before they were put away after they left the dryer. I mean, and every meal was on the table. We ate together and she worked full time. And I came from a hard-nosed working class family. And when I went into chiropractic school, I went into chiropractic school with that work mentality. I'm very blue collar. I am way more blue collar than white collar. I don't mind getting dirty. I don't mind getting bloody. I don't mind getting injured to make it happen. And when I would go to my father and I would talk to him about what we were going to do in chiropractic, like, I don't understand any of that. And it's not because he wasn't bright. My dad was one of the brightest men. He knew everything about history. He knew everything about mechanics. He was just a brilliant man, but he was a plumber. And he could do anything. We never hired anyone to come onto our property to do anything. My dad did it or made me do it with him. And so when I tried to explain it to my father would be like, whoa, hold on. What you're telling me, right? He's like, what you're telling me is that my blood pressure could be tied to my nervous system? And I said, well, yeah, dad. I tried to dump it on him. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. And so what I was realizing was that as a student, I was failing to even help the people that loved and trust me understand chiropractic. And so when I went away to boarding school, I went away to in Western Connecticut to play hockey. That was the only reason. I didn't want to live away from my family. They didn't want me to live away from them. I was going to play hockey and it was all scholarship because my parents were not going to be able to afford almost a $40,000 tuition at the end of the 1900s. You know what I mean? And so when I was leaving, I had this guy that I played in a competitive men's league with. And he said, and he was very good. And he had a very successful career many years before me. And he said, Michael, he goes, when you go, shut your mouth. And I said, shut my mouth. And he goes, don't go in there telling what you've accomplished, what you've done, where you came from, what you expect to do here, how hard you recruited, anything like that. Nothing has promised you. He goes, you just go and you earn it. He said, there's going to be a ton of Michael Viscarellis at that school. And he said, and you go in there and you set this high expectation. And even if you do great in your first year, he goes, you might still fall short of their expectations. And he couldn't have, and this was a dude just like drinking beers on the bench during a hockey game. And it was such wise wisdom. And I carried that in a practice. And I carried in, we don't promise the moon and the stars. Sometimes in my report of findings doc, I will ask them very straight up. I'll say, listen, if we improved your headaches, or if we improved your vertigo or your blurred vision by 50%, would you be ecstatic? They're like, that changed my life. I say, well, my goal's much higher than that, but let's start there. And boy, oh boy, that puts the bar at a manageable level. And when you explain the principles of chiropractic, when I started to talk to my father and try to get him to understand, and when I could see that I could do it in a more simple fashion or cut to the chase quicker, and I saw light bulbs going on, I knew that I was getting closer, being able to serve the public in an adequate way where they could understand the simplicity of chiropractic. We could have reasonable expectations. We could exceed those expectations. And it was win-win for both parties.
I mean, and I love that. And I agree with it. I agree with it. Keep it simple. You know, it's like when I graduated from school, they're like, you have all this knowledge now. Now we forget everything you just learned. Hopefully it's inside of you now. Now go out and talk to the public. And that's what I did. But the difference, what I'm seeing from you, like as you were speaking, I mean, put myself in that, like, I've only been out of practice for 5 years. And I would say to you now, but you have that conviction, you have the certainty that I don't have. So what would you say to me if I'm 5 years out in practice and I good, I agree with you on the philosophy. I agree with you on chiropractic. I don't have your certainty and your conviction. How do I get that? Like, how would you answer that?
Man, that is a really great question, Doc. And I think it's difficult. I think people have put such little faith in the principles of chiropractic and put it, and BJ talked about this, right? Or maybe it was DD. Forgive me if I say it wrong or quote the wrong person, but essentially like more faith in a spoonful of medicine than into the energy that animates our entire living body. The reality is that so much of our time is wasted. Let me rewind to this idea. Somebody said to me in my early development, they said, man, when they walk in your practice, that's the only place they're going to get chiropractic in their entire week. The only place. They're not going to see a commercial on TV. They're probably not going to hear educational radio ads. They're not going and reading anything or watching anything that's actually educating them. And if it is, it's educating them in a negative way. What was it, Two and a Half Men? One of the characters was a chiropractor, right, with Charlie Sheen? And he was a joke. It was disgusting. It was embarrassing. And for me, I'm like, I will not watch that show. I don't care how funny people say it is. It disgusts the repers. But we did that to ourselves. All these hacks that never understood or owned the principle of chiropractic, they confused our image in society, in our communities. And so for me, when I realized that the only place they're going to really get chiropractic is for the few minutes that they're in my facility, maybe once to three times a week or once every other week, we can't miss that opportunity. So I think you look through your facility and you eliminate anything that doesn't scream chiropractic at them. You look at your discussions from what your team's talking about, from what you're talking about, from small talk to your report of findings, and eliminate anything that doesn't drive them towards the principle of chiropractic. Stop making justifications that say, well, this helps facilitate the adjustment. If I didn't bring them in under neuropathy, if I didn't bring them in under weight loss, they never would have come to a chiropractor. That's a lie. They just never would have come to you as a chiropractor because you don't scream chiropractic. You don't live chiropractic. So why would they come to you for chiropractic when you want to lead with weight loss? And so I'm fine with, I don't know if I just gave myself a thumbs up on the screen.
Yeah, someone's doing it, but it looks good.
I liked it so much, I gave myself a thumbs up, man. But the reality is that we love vintage old cars. I like American made. I just do. I used to have Land Rovers and all sorts of stuff, but man, I like old vintage American made 4x4s. Well, my wife convinced me for a kick around car up here in Buena Vista that she wanted a European vintage 4x4. And so I got it. I would not bring that vehicle to somebody that just says auto mechanic or mechanic and lists all these that they do domestic and European and everything. I know that there's people out there that specialize in certain things. And so when they leave and they're like, man, we are a Rover mechanic or we are a Toyota mechanic or whatever it is, I know what they stand for. I know what they specialize. I know what their expertise is in. They're not out there telling me that they specialize in tires, but they want to swap my motor out.
Right.
I want to go to somebody that knows their craft and they're proud of it and they're going to stand for it.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Mary, part of your question is like when you're busy, like when, you know, Michael, you're busy, your offices are busy. You don't have time to talk. You don't have 20 minutes to tell the chiropractic story. And I think that the answer to me is it's got to be in you, you know. You've got to become so convicted. And that means that you got to get around people who are convicted. You've got to be at places where you can re-dip yourself and get strong in what you're doing and not get strong. It's kind of like you just can't go to the gym for a year and then quit and expect to stay strong, you know, but you just got to keep doing that, which turns the person on, the doctor on, and the rest is going to follow because it really is. It's as simple as that, as long as that conviction is there, because I know it. You know, I know that when you get someone like yourself, you know, Dr. Michael, that you don't have to say much to them in a report of findings. You can just say, hey, this is what I think. Here's what we're going to do. Yada, yada. And boom, you know, they're going to go, okay.
They can feel your certainty and your confidence in what you're doing. And I think that is, you can't fake that. You know, when we were in school, Doc, I don't remember who it was, a Canadian organization that came to life to teach the business track or classes. and their response to everything, and I couldn't loathe this concept more, was fake it until you make it. How many times have we heard that nonsense where it's like, man, let's send us disabled into battle. Let's send us depleted, diminished, ill-prepared. And I used to have a coach that used to say this to me, Docs. I used to have a coach who used to say this to me, and he would say, preparation slows the game down. And if you think about it, in any sport, mine was hockey. It was like, man, if it was chaotic, if you were a step behind, if you weren't tape to tape on your passes, if your timing was off and the game was ahead of you, he'd always say, we're ill-prepared. Had we prepared properly, we focused and done what was right. And that goes back to us being in school, going to the right seminars, hanging around with the right people, like you said, reading the right books, listening to the right audios. If we prepared right, the game would slow down. We would see the plays developing before us, and we would be a step ahead. And so what I see from young practitioners, especially students, they get so focused on adjusting techniques. They get so focused on the things that edify us as doctors. And they do such little preparation in their philosophy. And I mean, not just like, yeah, man, I love chiropractic, right? Like, I've got my story, because my story, when Tara got under principal chiropractic care, got off of her birth control, and got her body healthy and communicating properly, and then we had her cramping resolved, right? Her endometriosis resolved, her cycles normalized. And then we got pregnant and we had healthy babies at home. I mean, with the midwife asleep downstairs on the couch in our room. I mean, like, empowered, strong, you know, woman in control of her body and her principles. And it's like, I can't sell out chiropractic. Chiropractic gave me my two children that are running around downstairs and are as healthy as horses and haven't even had a vitamin K shot. I can't outgive chiropractic for what chiropractic has done for my life. I can't sell out on chiropractic. I can't not tell that story. I don't need to bring them in under neuropathy. I don't need to bring them in under any other modality or weight loss or whatever, step, you know, knee stuff, whatever the next thing is. I don't need that, because I am so deeply committed to chiropractic. So I ask the practitioner, I say, if you know, we say this to young students and doctors, if you got to ask yourself this question, is what am I doing right now in this moment, moving, and there's a lot of ways you can phrase it, move me closer to my goals in practice or further away? Or is what I'm doing in this moment contributing to putting more butts in the seats and bodies on the benches? If the answer is no, then stop it. If you're tired and burned out and struggling in practice, and you feel like empty, you feel like you don't have that burn, that fire that wants to get up on a Monday morning, go serve big, which I've only one time walked into the practice where I didn't want to. And it was after my son was born, when I went back to practice. I was like, man, I really want to stay in this bed with my, I actually don't really count that, because it had nothing to do with practice. It had everything to do with that. I just wanted to not miss a moment. Right. But I had to go back and serve my people. And so I've never walked in my practice saying, ah, I got to go practice today. Never once. Now, I've seen a car in the parking lot that was one of my team members that maybe I didn't really love anymore. I was like, I saw sneakers hanging off the end of the bench. And I'm like, oh, it's that lady, or it's that guy that's going to just put me through the ringer. I've had those moments, but never not wanting to go to our practice where we can serve people with such a simple and powerful message as chiropractic.
And what I love is that, you know, I when you were talking about being prepared, and, you know, that to me, that's Mamba mentality. You know, that's Kobe Bryant. They're like, man, the guy put so much into his craft and so much into that. And yet, Mary, you know, we saw him, you know, with the family, and it was like, you know, you could compartmentalize these things, right? And you don't have to be on all the time. You could just be in family mode, lie with your kids in bed. But then when you're on, right? And it's what we do. But you don't change how we live our life. And if we live our life from the principle, if we live our life, you know, with principle, you know, it's all one, isn't it? It's just right there. But dude, we're coming to our witching time, but we have two questions we're going to ask you. And we ask all our Life by Life West guests this, and we just want an innate response. It might change. I might ask you the same question in 30 seconds, and it might be something totally different. So no right answer, or no wrong answer, I should say, and just 30-second response or so. Mary, me or you first?
I'll start.
All right, go.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So if you could go back with all the wisdom that you have now, if you could go back and speak to yourself, let's just say the first day of chiropractic school, what advice would you give yourself?
Find a congruent mentor immediately. Find a congruent mentor immediately. Somebody that you don't just align with how what car they drive. I hate that crap. Somebody told me that we could never, no one thinks you're successful if you drive anything but a Mercedes in practice. So stupid. Most chiropractors don't think that. But a congruent mentor, not just in the money that they're making, but how they serve their practice members, how they serve their team members, how they serve their family. It has to be on all levels. You need to see behind the curtain and find a congruent mentor because they will help you see what you're working towards, what you're trying to achieve after this curriculum, after the boards, after the OSCEs, after all the tough tests, the clinic and everything. You need to find yourself a congruent mentor that will help keep you inspired all the way through school and in practice.
Love it.
Great answer.
All right. I got the second question. Second question is this, very similar, right? Where you are right now, you know, at this particular moment, but now you're going to speak to Dr. Michael Viscarelli, who just got his diploma today. What advice would you give him?
That it can be a thankless world, but serve big anyway. That would be the big one. I think that when we come out of school, we believe that, man, we're unstoppable, that everybody wants what we have, that everyone's beautiful and loves holistic health. But man, you can care for people for a long time, and one bad interaction could lead to a review, a negative review, or could lead to them discontinuing care or going to another chiropractor up the street, all the way to the other people in your profession hating on you because they might be intimidated or might not like your message. I would say this, that it can be a thankless world, but serve big anyway, because it's worth it. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to put your flame out. He wants to stop you from serving big and changing lives for the better. And I can tell you this, the Bible says to be greatest among all, you must be servant to all. If Jesus could come to serve and not to receive, then who are we not to do the same? And I can tell you this, any tough situation you're facing, Doc, any tough situation you could ever face, student Doc, I can tell you this, the number one way out of it, the number one modality out of it is service, mm-hmm. is service.
Yeah. And you know, when you break that word down, it's serve us.
Yeah.
Not serve me, yeah. Serve us, right?
I love it.
What it is. Dr. Michael, yeah. It's been a pleasure, man. It's been wonderful. We'll come back at you. We'll get you again on the show.
Yes, we will.
Got more to go over. If we had like an hour and a half to do this, it'd be wonderful. We probably still wouldn't complete everything we wanted to, but thank you. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for sharing from your heart. And more than anything, just thank you for being a selfless servant. Because
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for hosting such things and vehicles to get a message out to chiropractors. I've had people share my old one back to me and say, I just listened to this. This is cool, man. It's awesome. Thank you so much. And I was like, man, that's, you know, even if just one person hears it, but thank you guys for what you guys are doing out West. Thank you for what you guys do for our profession. And I just want to say we need to get out of our own ways and create some great success in our own four walls of our practices so that we can give back to schools like Life West and organizations that support our principles and our values and defend our rights in chiropractic and in healthcare, for not just us, but for our babies and our grandbabies. And chiropractors need to be successful because chiropractic as a profession needs money. And they need money in order to further their reach and their impact. And so I'm so grateful for the work y'all are doing out West. And I pray that you guys just continually prosper, your family, your kids, your grandkids, that everything continues to prosper for your service, guys.
Thank you. And we'll take those prayers in abundance. Believe me, we will. Hey, for our viewers, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Dr. Mary, thank you again for, well, walking side by side, baby, doing our thing. I missed that walk on the beach that we just did last week every day, for a couple miles, but we'll recreate that someplace else. And, but to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for checking in, week in and week out. We drop these Life by Life West every other week. The opposite weeks is the Life West Leadership Line. our viewership is just off the charts right now, and it's because of you, not because of us, because you're sharing these with Dr. Michael talked about today. I don't know one chiropractor or chiropractic student or student-to-be that shouldn't hear this. So I'm going to ask you to just send this link out to about, you know, 10 people that you know and just say, listen to this guy. That's it. That's it. Listen to this guy and then let it go and see what comes back at you. Because you know what? Dr. Michael dropped some great nuggets today, but we just appreciate you and keep spreading the word and keep sharing chiropractic with those that you know. But most of all, just keep remembering and keep telling people that they are much more powerful and much more stronger and have an ability to heal so much more than they were ever led to believe. And I think that's a super, super, super important message to be able to give. So thank you. We're going to come back at you again next week. And until we come back at you, for Dr. Michael, Dr. Mary, and myself, we'll bid you adieu. And keep loving those around you, hugging everybody that you can, and keep spreading the word and sharing life, love, and health. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.